This week in your parents' basement, we're finally capitulating to audience demand and playing a little game called Sonic the Hedgehog, released in 1991 by Sega for the Genesis. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is regular co-host. He knows the difference between a hedgehog and a fox. It's Hugel Hauser.
I need rings.
Unfortunately, Todd Brisket is not here. I'm not sure why, because he was super excited to talk about Sonic. It's a shame because I think he's only 2 weeks from retirement, too. Anyway, we're going to try to soldier on with Adam. You can reach us by email at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. If you like the show, be sure to subscribe to it on iTunes and give us some stars. Also, please support the show by using our Amazon click-through link at www.ypbpodcast.com. We're saving up for our own Kawasaki jet skis to find out which one of us is actually the best real-life wave racer. You know, if there's one game franchise we're consistently asked to cover and that we haven't gotten to yet, it is Sonic the Hedgehog. It is Sega's answer to the old Mario there, and people have been eagerly anticipating our take on this game. Over and over again, people have asked us to talk about Sonic, and about Sonic Spinball, and about Knuckles, and about the Dr. Robotnik's mean Bean Machine, and what's that music? What's going on?
Hey guys, I took your friend Todd out in the parking lot. I'm taking his place for the podcast today.
Oh my god, I know who this is. This is my buddy Josh, and all he did this summer during kickball was harass me and tell me about how he was going to take over the show someday and make it good.
What is this?
And here I am making it good. Josh World Order taking over the podcast.
Oh, Jesus.
This is uncalled for.
I know. And apparently you had something to do with Todd being gone.
Yeah, Todd's not going to be around for a while.
He was
took him out in the parking lot and, you know, I'll just leave it at that.
He was 2 weeks from retirement, damn it.
Well, I put him into an early retirement.
We wish him well in his future endeavors.
He had a Loser Leaves Town match with a trailer, and he lost.
And he lost, and you're stuck with me.
At least it's not as bad as when Hulk Hogan threw the giant off a building, and then he was back the next week, but... anyways, well, I guess we won't be doing Sonic this week. Instead, we're going to talk about WCW versus NWO World Tour from 1997 and WCW versus NWO Revenge from 1998, both by Asmic Ace and AKI. Thankfully, because I prep for the show, I have done prep for every game ever released.
So you had a contingency. Yes. In case anyone ever interrupted the show with a game that they wanted to cover.
Yes.
You have notes for every game.
Yes. The backup after this is Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch for the Sega CD. But
that explains a lot.
Yep. These games, they are the predecessors to the better-known WWF No Mercy. But they're pretty solid games in their own right, some might say. Some others might not, though. They are largely considered the first good wrestling games for the N64 and PlayStation era, after some clunky first efforts from other companies. They are built off the Japanese Virtual Pro Wrestling series, which was a more realistic gaming engine with grapples and holds, not the Godfather's hose, as opposed to the stilted fighting game like action of earlier games. So anyway, even though you crashed the show, Josh, you're still a guest. So,
thank you.
So why don't you share some of your thoughts here on these games?
Sure. So the first wrestling game I ever really remember playing in the PlayStation N64 era was WCW versus the World, which, if I remember it right, had more of that arcadey feel to it. And then these two games that we're talking about today really did step it up, I thought. Although during the time period, I really was more Warzone attitude. These two games definitely really held their own at the time.
Mm-hmm. What about Huel? Did you play these games when they first came out?
Yeah, I remember. I do remember Warzone was pretty good. That was a similar kind of game. It was WWF, but it was a little more arcadey, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, these, the ones by Aki or AKI or whatever.
I don't know.
I don't want to say realistic because it's still pro wrestling, but it was more true to the product. I would.
Do
say.
You want to go into the trailer next? Realism.
Oh,
come on.
Oh yeah. Oh, look. Hey. That's fine.
It's just like when the outsiders would sit in on commentary.
This is where the big boys play, huh?
You don't look so big to me now.
But yeah, I played much more No Mercy, I'll admit, because I was more of a WWF guy. But I had played the NWO games in the past, because, who didn't like the NWO? Even if you didn't like WCW, that really got everyone into the Monday Night Wars.
Sting was my guy. I was at the age where I was very much against the NWO, and I was mm-hmm. very much behind Sting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did it break your heart when he eventually joined?
Oh, yeah. I think that at that point I had switched more over to WWF, so...
Smart.
Yeah. I liked Wolfpack Sting. I was okay.
Exactly. Yeah, Wolfpack was always the better NWO.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, seeing the red with the goatee is really disturbing, but at the time it was fine.
Exactly.
I mean, I was a babyface mark too when I was a sweet baby boy, so I did not like the NWO at all. I rooted for WCW, so it was, in hindsight, yeah, it was compelling. It was cool because they were bad guys and it was easy to root against them. So they were kind of doing their role perfectly.
Yeah.
And in hindsight,
they worked you.
That worked. The weird thing is that feels like 3 years of my life, but then looking back, it's really like only like a year that the NWO White was around. And
it's like
pre-Wolfpack.
Yeah, like pre-Wolfpack, and it's only like 3 or 4 months that it was like the dominant core NWO, and then they immediately started watering it down with like Vincent and Hugh Morris and all these other people.
I don't know if Hugh Morris was part of it. Was he?
Eventually.
Scott Norton, maybe?
Scott Norton is who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I agree. I mean, really, there was that one good year for WCW, and then that was about it. And these two games kind of encapsulate that, I feel like.
Yeah, they are kind of a neat little time capsule.
Snapshot time capsule.
Yeah.
Good words.
Yeah, my biggest note as a Chris Jericho mark is that Jericho isn't even in World Tour. Even though I think he may have been their cruiserweight champion at the time, maybe not though. And in Revenge, he is on the fourth page of WCW wrestlers,
which is really like the seventh page overall.
Yes, yes, he's on there with a bunch of other cruiserweights and jobbers, along with like I think Eddie Guerrero's on that page.
That's crazy.
It is after the page for Larry Zbysko, who was
that's mind blowing.
Who is
living
announcer.
Legend Larry Zbysko?
Yeah, yeah. But they don't have like a classic version of Larry Zbysko. It's like Larry Zbysko
announcer version.
Yeah, as an announcer
in 1998.
That's awful. You're gonna put Jericho and Eddie Guerrero after announcer Larry Zbysko. That's I guess that's a sign of the times for the company.
Well, Eric Bischoff's on page one because he's part of the NWO.
Oh, because he's Bischoff.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that
part. And
because
he's Bischoff.
Yeah. At least Jericho, they have his tights. On his tights are 1004.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
I was a fan of that.
Yeah, because
that's one of the greatest promos of all time. So I'm glad they put that in the game.
I'll let Mr. Jannetty get back to his trailer park. But first...
Well, I'm thinking that like that fourth page is just mostly the cruiserweights.
Yeah.
So I think they just put them all kind of in one section because they had Eddie and Rey Mysterio and Chavo and like huge names now. But
it still doesn't really excuse why Eric Bischoff is on the first page. Well, unless that's all NWO on the first.
It is. Like they sort the pages kind of by section because they have we pointed this out before, but it's funny. They have NWO White and NWO Red.
Yeah,
like they don't even call it Wolfpack in the actual roster section.
Oh, yeah,
but then Raven's flock gets its own page.
Yes, yes.
Which is just Raven and a bunch of jobbers.
Mm-hmm. Perry Saturn was pretty good.
He wasn't even in there.
Oh, he wasn't in there?
Well, he was on a WCW page.
Oh, because he must not random, have been part of the flock.
Yeah, he wasn't in the flock. Yeah.
Along with other... The second game does definitely show you the bloat on the WCW roster. Like Jim the Anvil Neidhart was in WCW at the time, apparently. I'm going through right now.
I should have had a roster pulled up.
Scotty Riggs.
Yeah.
Scotty Riggs. Eyepatch Scotty Riggs?
It's Eyepatch. He's in the flock.
He's in the flock. The flock, yes.
Hilarious.
And then they have a page of just managers on here. Dusty Rhodes, Elizabeth, Rick Rude, Vincent, Bischoff, Kimberly, Sonny Ono. Before lawsuit, apparently. And Jimmy Hart.
Mouth of the South.
Oh, and then they do have two other roster pages, which is basically Japanese and other promotion wrestlers, not WWF, because WWF would have sued them off the face of the earth.
Sure.
Well, yeah.
But it's people from Japanese pro wrestling and dead or alive wrestling. So there's like Abdullah the Butcher, but he's called like Crusher Burkowski or something.
You could say you just butchered his name. Sorry.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Burnt.
Oh, will you be serious?
Will you stop?
Yes, it's surprising Bobby Heenan is in the playable character while they were at it.
He is a playable character?
No,
he just said?
He
oh,
not.
Okay.
He's not, sorry.
Widely documented he's had neck problems, so...
It wouldn't have gone over.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Famously, he swore on air, "What the F are you doing?" at Brian Pillman, because Brian Pillman grabbed him by like the shoulders and neck and didn't know that Bobby Heenan had major neck surgery.
Yes.
So, but no, this game does have a pretty rounded out roster.
Looking it over, because I hadn't looked at this in forever, like the NWO games. Mm-hmm. Like I fire up No Mercy every once in a while just for nostalgia. But looking at this one, like it is a pretty good roster. Like looking back at it. Just the names that are on it.
Yeah.
Because you do still have Bret Hart. You still have Macho Man. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have The Giant, which is a.k.a.
DDP's
The Big Show. Yeah, DDP, Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Cruiserweights of Jericho, like Mysterio's in there.
A wrestler who will not be named.
Also, some guy. Ultimo Dragon. Yeah, exactly. He's missing a tooth.
Barbarian, Meng,
yeah, Psychosis.
Meng, yeah.
Oh, Meng, he was a man.
I loved Meng. That guy was a monster, and he was great at being a monster with the tongue and death grip.
Of course,
it was fantastic. Oh, yeah.
And also, whenever you look at a shoot video, they always talk about how Meng and Barbarian were apparently the two toughest guys out of the ring as well.
Yes. Right.
So.
I doubt that.
I don't know. They're two big Samoan dudes, I think, but
That's weird.
Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig in this game.
Oh, Hennig's in the game, yeah.
Well, I love Simon naming like Hall and Nash and Hogan. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It goes without saying.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I love is that they've got DDP complete with the taped up ribs in the game.
Yeah.
Because he played that gimmick for so long.
Yeah. It just made it into a game.
That was my favorite version of DDP, was the jeans and taped up ribs coming out to Smells Like Teen Spirit, just because like you knew he was just like scorched earth DDP against Randy Savage. It was great.
Oh my god.
Yeah, mentioning the music, it reminded me of something. I mean, obviously they're not going to license something like Smells Like Teen Spirit, but no one has any of their own entrance music in this game.
Yeah, I noticed that.
That is a huge letdown. Like, it not is. Even, like, MIDI versions of it. There's two themes that people come out to. Mm-hmm. And it just depends out who comes out first gets the first theme.
So it's not even, like, a face theme or a heel theme. It's just the order in which they come out.
And whoever comes out second gets the other one. That was so disappointing.
It is. I mean, you can say, oh, it's an N64 cart, but right. Like,
I believe Warzone had the music.
Yeah.
And also the Super Nintendo WWF games had theme songs.
Oh. Yeah,
you just need like simple MIDI versions. Like that's all I ask.
Yeah.
But I think something like Warzone only had like 16 wrestlers.
That's
or
true
whatever.
Too. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like those early WWF games were pretty slimmed down.
Now, did these two WCW games, I cannot remember, did they have the creator wrestler mode?
No.
Because that's something I really, really valued in Warzone and Attitude. And so even it was skimmed down as far as how the roster was, I loved the creator wrestler mode in those two games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was definitely huge. In this one, all you could do was change their like costume settings.
Okay.
But that was only for like pre-existing wrestlers.
Right.
And it was very, very limited in what you could choose. Because I was playing around with it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, creator wrestler was gigantic, and it really extends the lifespan of games like this.
Absolutely.
Because No Mercy had it, and that's by this developer. We're gonna talk about No Mercy a lot probably. But I mean, that had like one of the best creator wrestlers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we can move along a little bit here. Although WCW, the company, it shone really bright for about 2 years. Thanks to the NWO angle and then Goldberg, by 1999, they were hemorrhaging money because of a bloated roster, tons of production costs, and horrible booking by Vince Russo and Vince Ferrara. For more on the downfall of the company, I'd recommend the great book, The Death of WCW by Brian Alvarez. The bad decisions they made were pretty comical, like they put the title on David Arquette at one point.
Yeah.
And they spent tons of cash on Master P.
I remember that in the Rough Riders.
yeah, and oh god, some of their angles were just bad. They made fun of Jim Ross had cerebral palsy, so they decided it'd be a good idea to make
it's
fun
not,
of that.
No, it wasn't cerebral palsy. It was
Bell's
like another
palsy.
Yeah, Bell's palsy that affected like half his face. If he had cerebral palsy, he wouldn't even be able to.
Hey, also just for clarity purposes, I think it was Ed Ferrara.
Listen, I can't be bothered. I'm not a doctor.
Come on.
I'm not Dr. Coney.
He's just a love doctor.
Yeah.
Love machine. Anyway, yeah, so, yes, I think it was Bell's palsy, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't care if it was Bell's or Vince's palsy. It doesn't matter. They were making fun of Jim Ross and...
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, and also famously, Bischoff was kind of there as the show started to slide. But at least, you know, he kind of had an overall plan. But his misstep was putting pay-per-view matches on TV for no reason. Like Hulk Hogan versus Goldberg, first ever meeting on a Nitro with no build-up or promotion.
Well, it popped the ratings that night, but at the same time, it like ended so much like build-up and mysteriousness.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Happened.
Yeah, that could have been
That's when Goldberg won the title, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Well,
that was crazy.
They did that, and it was kind of a response to the fact that, like Sting didn't really go over clean in any of his stuff with Hogan.
That Starcade match that he had with Hogan, where Bret Hart ended up calling that match, was ridiculous. Not in a good way either.
Yeah, it was just. I don't know. It's so much bad stuff in WCW when they
had this. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, go ahead.
They had this weird mindset of using the pay-per-views to boost ratings for the show because they were so obsessed with getting higher ratings than Raw, the WWF show. That it's like the complete opposite of what you want. Is you want to use the show to sell your pay-per-view rather than using what happens on the pay-per-view to get you to tune into the show.
Yeah.
So they had like this string of disappointing pay-per-view endings because they wanted you to see like what happened next on free television.
Yeah.
It was just absurd.
Yeah. I mean, theoretically, like, you know, TNT would get money from advertisers and there would be ads deals and rights packages for the TV show, but you know, that's nothing compared to if you get a million people to pay $40 a pop for a pay-per-view.
Right.
Like, it's, you know,
And well, the pay-per-views are supposed to be the big payoff, like the satisfying ends to feuds and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's just how you get viewers.
Mm-hmm. So basically the company, it ended up getting sold in 2001 to, WWE or WWF. I forget what they were at that point.
Still.
Yeah.
Okay. But it was also by that point, the assets were so devalued that, allegedly McMahon bought it for like $1 million.
That's insane.
Actually, yeah, I think they were just like so in debt, and like the contracts were such a such like a noose around the neck. It was just
yes. Actually,
the company wasn't even worth it.
I'm looking at Wikipedia right now. All McMahon bought, he bought the tape library for $1.7 million, which has paid off. God knows how
times
many
times a billion.
Yeah, with the WWE network and, you know, just the DVDs alone that they've done.
Yeah, before the network happened, they were just selling DVD sets like Greatest Macho Man, Greatest Heart, Greatest Sting, like all that stuff.
They've done like 3 Goldberg DVDs, even though Goldberg wrestled for like 2 years.
And had like 2 good matches.
Yeah. And also, they sold the rights to the WCW name for $2.5 million.
Wow.
WWE didn't want any of the contracts of the wrestlers for the most part, because guys were on these ridiculous deals like Hogan. Oh, no. Hall and Nash famously were on a deal that required them to be always within 20% of the top 5 of the company. So anytime Hogan or Bret Hart came in and got a raise, it meant that Hall and Nash get a raise for no reason. So,
like, yeah, just insane.
Yeah. So anyway, since WCW was dying by the time, you know, 99, 2000 rolled around, there wasn't really much need for a new video game about them. So publisher THQ and developers Asmic Ace and AKI moved on to No Mercy, which was considered the best wrestling game of that generation and beyond. Some folks still like it more than some of the modern efforts. Huel.
Yeah. I mean, I've liked the last few 2K games, but I think as a total package and for the time, No Mercy is possibly the best one.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he had ladder matches.
I think I've only ever played No Mercy a couple times, so I can't really comment on that. But, Huel, I trust you on that one.
Thank you. I'm glad I have that air of trustworthiness.
Huel and I are taking over the podcast, Steven. Watch out.
Oh, jeez. New tag team. Heel. Heel turn. Swerve.
Just call me the bad guy.
I mean, the thing is, I found that just the efforts can be really spotty. Like they'll introduce new features in the newer games, and some of them are fine, but then for no good reason they'll take out features that people like that general manager mode, and like, I don't know, sometimes there's
I forgot about that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you can plan a card and see how it draws, that kind of thing. So I don't know. And then But for the most part, they all play pretty well once you get to the N64 era.
Well, in the the original Xbox and like PS2 era, once they started doing like yearly ones, and it was like SmackDown versus Raw 07, SmackDown versus Raw 08, like they kind of just started mailing it in at that point.
Yeah.
So you'd get a really good one maybe every 4 years, like when kind of technology jumped, or maybe you were lucky enough to get like a good roster, just depending on who was employed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, like year to year, it wasn't that great, but every few there'd be a good one that popped up.
Mm-hmm.
Just stuff would kind of come together the right way.
Oh yeah, like I kept SmackDown versus Raw 2006 for quite a few years because it was the last game with Jericho in it, I believe.
There was SmackDown Here Comes the Pain is thought of as one of the top ones. Because it's the first one with Lesnar.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The first one with the Elimination Chamber.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember that one. Because Lesnar.
Yeah.
Video game
Lesnar. Maybe it might not have been the first one with Lesnar, but it was like the best one with Lesnar. That was like
so Lesnar was on the cover of that one. I think, right?
It's Here Comes the Pain was like his slogan or whatever.
That makes sense.
But that was a really good roster.
Either you guys ever played 2K16 yet?
Not the latest one.
I have, but I believe you're a fan, right, Josh?
I am. And as far as gameplay goes, I like it, and it's really interesting to see the evolution of, like, we're talking about these WCW games from 1997, 98, or whatever. But then now, for this one, the biggest thing that struck me is that you have the My Career mode, and kayfabe is completely 100% out the window at this point.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got a meter that tells you how you're performing as a heel or as a face, using those terms within the game. There is a section for you to see how your t-shirt sales are doing.
Nice.
And I'm just like, you know, as a, you know, hardcore wrestling fan, part of me is like, oh, this is pretty cool. I can see this and create my wrestler and do this stuff. But then the other side of me as a hardcore wrestling fan is like, wait,
yeah,
this is awful. This is like, this what should not be happening. And it's like, you know, we go back to thinking about a game like the WCW versus NWO. I was watching the gameplay clips here, and the worst thing that I can see is that, oh, Ric Flair completed a move off the top rope. That's really unrealistic.
Yeah, but exactly. Just because so that was like a move that was possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so just to see where the wrestling video games have gone in like 20 years is incredible. To see what it is now. And I guess that expands to the industry as a whole, I guess.
It really is, yeah, just the way the industry is now. Because, I mean, I think the internet really changed things. And, like, people have just been reading up on everything that happens. So they don't really care that people kind of know the inner workings. But they use that to kind of weave it into stuff. So, like, we still don't really know what is real or not. Because they're working in things like that.
They tweet.
So it's like they want you to think that, yeah, they want you to think you know, but using that, you probably really don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, let's run an angle where Ziggler can never get over that hump.
Yeah.
And Cesaro. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if the Cesaro one's really an angle.
I know, exactly. That's the thing. Oh, God.
Well, the Daniel Bryan one was 100% worked.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, when they're on the screen telling him he's not good enough and that they're not going to let him win, like, that's obvious that it's a storyline.
Yeah.
But people still were believing that Vince McMahon hated Daniel Bryan and would never let him be champion. It's like that kind of stuff. If they're telling you that something's happening, it's probably not true.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Ridiculous.
That's really, you know, it's interesting to think about that. In more recent weeks too, there have been more and more rumors about Daniel Bryan coming back actually to feud with The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you hear all the time that the doctors will not clear him. But like, what's actually part of this now? It's very interesting.
I wouldn't be surprised if all that was, if they somehow got him cleared, but. Yeah. They weren't going to tell anyone.
Right. The only way they can get us now. It really is.
Exactly.
So, if it were a work, I'd actually applaud them for that. Because there would be a lot of people that would backlash against that and say, you can't go there. You can't touch medical stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the whole mystique about being a pro wrestling fan, right?
Yeah.
And in addition to that, I mean, I'll just add on to what happened at SummerSlam. Between Randy Orton and Lesnar at the end.
Yeah.
You're trying to figure out. I was there at SummerSlam that night and I'm trying to figure out. Yeah. What is happening? And, you know, because
for the listener at home.
Go ahead. Sorry to digress.
No, it's okay. I just want to set it up for anyone that's listening. Absolutely. So they're not lost.
Sure.
Everyone knows Lesnar was an MMA fighter for a while. Like, he left pro wrestling to do UFC. And then eventually he came back. But he's only really back every few months for, like, big matches. So he had this big match at SummerSlam, which is probably the second biggest event that they put on. And it was against Orton, who's a longtime veteran. So they end the match with Brock kind of just forearming Orton's head until he's just like gushing with blood, just like literally bleeding out of his head. And the referee just calls the match off and it ends that way. So like as a viewer, you're like, was that on purpose or did Lesnar just not know that he was going to do that? So it's one of those things where are we being worked? Is this fake or did they intend to just open him up and end the match? Or is this something that was unplanned and we don't know what was going to happen?
And so
go ahead.
Sure. And so me, you know, I'm a self-described smart mark here where it's like I'm trying to analyze everything that's going on. And you just don't end a main event that way, generally. Mm-hmm. It ended in a TKO, which in
it's ballsy.
All the years that I've watched wrestling, I've never seen a TKO. But beyond that, I'm watching this match, and I'm noticing in the beginning that Randy Orton is not selling the German suplexes at all. Like, you know, you see a German suplex being sold, the guy taking it is jumping in the air and flying backward for it. He is not. Lesnar is working really, really hard for these, it looks like, from where I'm sitting. Which made me think, is that why he's pummeling him at the end? Because he's like, oh, you're not going to take my German suplex the right way.
He's sandbagging.
So that's happening. And then you hear after the fact that Chris Jericho confronted Lesnar in the back, and Vince McMahon had to stop him and say it's a work.
Right.
Now,
right.
What part of that is the work? Is that messaging that Jericho actually confronted Lesnar, is that the work for us? Anyway, to make the point, that's where we've gotten, where you really have to think about, is that the work or not? And that's very interesting to see, not only the video games, but also the actual, as a fan, seeing where wrestling has gone.
Yeah, it is fascinating that at this level, they're still like the biggest company, and we still think we know everything because we know it's all set up. We know it's all predetermined, but at the same time, there's still these things that they can work us on because they've been doing this for so long.
Exactly.
They know what they're doing.
Those bastards. And here I was, I bought so many Dana Brooke t-shirts and I thought
she was a bad guy.
But she was going to be the next champion. She's going to be the next big thing.
Dana Brooke is going the way of your friend at the beginning of this podcast.
Oh,
oh boy.
So, I sit here in Stamford, Connecticut saying that.
She couldn't even get a cameo in that Trolls movie, and she is one.
Oh, man.
Oh, poor Dana Brooke. She just needs some more seasoning. Greener than grass. Greener than grass, that one.
Are you saying, I thought by that you meant that she needed more time in the tanning bed, more seasoning there.
No, she's crispy.
Jeez. So, I don't know.
Sorry to take this super off track there.
No, that's what this show is. I knew we were just going to end up talking about wrestling. Don't worry about it.
Can I do want to comment on something about this game in particular?
Sure. Yes.
I can't get over the animation of a wrestler trying to get to the ropes in this.
Because
they kind of just slide along the mat, which it's just the most ridiculous looking thing that there ever could be.
It is. I mean, they were very ambitious in the things that they include.
Yeah.
I think a few technological limitations lead to things like that.
Right. My favorite things that I've seen for this game, though, is that they have included the Ric Flair faceplant, which is wonderful, as it should be in there. And then also the hilariousness of Sting coming from the rafters.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Slides down.
It is hilarious.
Yeah.
I was gonna tell you guys, there's a battle royal mode, which for them is pretty much a Royal Rumble.
Right.
But they can't call it that. So you start out with like four dudes, and like as they're eliminated, another random guy comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And I set it up to random wrestlers just to see who would pop in. And Sting was one of them. So usually they're running down the ramp, and you get to see like who's coming. But Sting just was floating down from the rafters, like above everybody. And I'm like, what is going on?
Because
I hadn't
Sting.
Seen him. Yeah, I hadn't seen him in the game yet. I didn't know they put in him coming down. So, like, it's the middle of the Battle Royale. There's, like, three other dudes, like, duking it out, and he just floats down. into the middle of everybody.
That's awesome.
It was hilarious.
It's badass.
You know what I would play if they made it? Speaking of Battle Royals, if they made a World War III game. Do you guys remember World War III?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Those were incredible.
Yeah. So just to set that stage, so it's three rings with 60 guys in the three rings, or 20 in each. But they all start out at the same time. Can you imagine that as a game, or like war games?
Even just war games. Ugh. Like, even if they could include that in a game, because they're never going to do it in real life again, apparently.
No.
Because it takes up too much space. But if they could just put war games into a game, I mean, they own all the rights to it. I don't see why not.
So, go ahead.
WWE steadfastly refuses to admit anything WCW did was a good idea.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
Like, though,
except Goldberg.
Even then, I think their hand has been forced, because he's like every time he shows up, and his DVD is like one of the best selling of all time.
Yeah.
But man, I love those old war games and the World War III. They should definitely steal those. Oh, and we just had Hell in a Cell. I would rather have seen Halloween Havoc.
Yeah.
I want the triple decker cage that David Arquette.
No, they can keep that. Don't bring that back.
That was
please.
One of the first things I watched when I got the network.
That's
that awful triple cage weapons. So I don't even remember what it was called.
You watched the worst thing that the network.
Oh, absolutely.
It's great.
Because like, what other chance was I going to get to watch it? Like, I'm not going to buy the DVD of it. I'm not going to go through the effort of downloading it somewhere.
So one thing
I need
will
to watch
say,
ridiculous gimmick matches.
You mentioned Halloween Havoc.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually get the Halloween Havoc venue, the pay-per-view venue, in 2K16.
Oh.
So, yeah. They have that Bash at the Beach and maybe another one that I can't remember right now.
Can you do the spin the wheel mode, though?
I don't remember what that is.
Oh, the old Halloween Havocs, they had... spin the wheel, make a deal, which was all of the matches were like they spun a wheel.
Stipulations.
Yeah, to get the stips, or even to
the stips
to get the competitors. But the problem is, like, if WWF did something like that, they would tape it beforehand.
Right.
And then just show you that. But apparently, like, WCW actually did it legit at times.
That's crazy.
So you ended up with stuff like
live.
Yeah, so you ended up with stuff like Sting versus Jake Roberts in a coal miner's glove match, and like,
oh my god.
Yeah, and just like,
well, they did
weird stuff like that.
WWE, I think they were at the time. They used to do Taboo Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Which would let people vote for stipulations.
Yeah.
But they were wise enough to only limit it to like three choices. So you knew, they knew ahead of time like what was likely to win probably.
Do you think those were legit?
I think they were probably fake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not someone literally spinning a big wheel so they can just predetermine like the outcomes.
You know, according to the Wrestling Observer, like most of those were legit.
Think so?
Well, it's just that
I believe the Wrestling Observer.
Yeah, it's a lot of the time, you know, WWE would try its hardest to, you know, really steer you in one direction.
Yeah, they would overload the choices.
Yeah, but no, I think that's how you ended up like Zack Ryder won one of those votes one year.
Mm.
Like to compete for like a, I don't know, like a IC title or something like that.
I just want to go back to that last note for a sec. So in 2K16, you can get those venues, the old WCW venues. And if my vision's okay, I actually do think that they shrink the ring because the WCW rings are smaller than rings, which I think is an excellent detail.
Mm-hmm. That would be
also
amazing.
You can choose between WCW Referee 1 and WCW Referee 2. Which is great. So you're really getting like the actual WCW experience in this game. And I don't know. Those are details where, as a fan, like that's awesome. Because like, there's Sting. You got Lex Luger's in the game. DDP. I can't even remember who else.
I didn't know they were actually in the game.
Yeah. So they're unlockable characters in the game that you can get. And so,
is that because it's like Goldberg mode or whatever?
I don't know. I think that they're just in there as unlockable characters. They're really leveraging the ownership of all that licensing now, I guess.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's pretty cool to get that kind of effect in 2016 for something that happened 20 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it does annoy me, though, because there wasn't anything preventing WWE from putting these wrestlers in the past games. And like,
well, I think it's just licensing with the people themselves.
No, most of these people, they own the rights, like, in perpetuity.
Really?
Yeah, especially, well, that's why they could do, like, a new Diesel and a new Razor Ramon, of course.
Could it be anything to do with the hardware and the amount of space they can have at the time?
I mean, theoretically, it could be an issue, but, you know, I always get the feeling that you could put, like, 40 creator wrestlers in most of these games. Like,
true.
You could put a ton of them in.
Yeah, they're up to, like, 100 now.
Yeah, so it's like, well, what's the difference between doing that and, like, a... just having more options that you can select. It's not like they're doing individual storylines for the people in the game.
It's a matter of putting them on the actual physical disc or just saving them to the hard drive. That's the difference there. Like, if you're selling an Xbox game, there's only so much space on that disc.
Right.
But if you're creating 50 creator wrestlers, you just save them to the hard drive.
I guess, but I never got the feeling that these games were really, like, pushing the hardware and software to its limits anyway, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for the most part, it's one engine per generation of consoles. And then, like, after that first release, it's just roster updates for the most part. Like, mm-hmm. Especially when you're talking about, like, I don't know, like, when the middle games of the SmackDown versus Raw series, it's like, really? Couldn't you just do, like, Madden does and, you know, update the rosters and, you know, at least Madden gives you, like, token updates from year to year, whereas the WWE games for a while were nothing but roster updates.
But the thing with Madden, though, is that each player, you're just changing, like, attributes and minor physical detail. Like, with the wrestler, there's so much that goes into their appearance in this, I think, and their moveset.
Yeah, especially the new ones. They're all mo-capped.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you got music. You got
taunts. You've got
taunting. I
mean, yeah,
you got gear. Yeah. You got
the entrance
outfits.
A lot of good wrestlers. A lot of good wrestlers out there.
Teach. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, well, we should get moving along a little bit here. Huel, was there anything else you wanted to say about these games?
My biggest takeaway is there's more here in the earlier games than I thought. Like, most of the controls are, like, exactly the same as No Mercy and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it was a fun look back at days gone by.
Oh yeah, we should definitely do a future show on some of the early games, like the NES. WWF games.
Well, did we do WrestleFest?
Yeah. WrestleFest, I really like.
It's more of an arcade game.
Yeah. That's like straight up, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s kind of punching game.
Yeah.
Fun. Like, it's pretty simple.
It's a punching game.
Yeah. but no, the NES wrestling games have not particularly aged that well. So
that could be fun.
Yeah.
Get, like, my doink on.
Doink.
Like, there's one good finishing move in any of those games, and who is it? Hacksaw Jim Duggan, of course.
Oh. As we all know.
With a three-point stance clothesline, or is that what?
Yes, yep. You can do the three-point stance clothesline.
Excellent.
Ted DiBiase, he has a decent one. You can put the dream on people.
Dream.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Pass down to Sunning Steve.
Yes.
That's what we used to call you.
Stunning Steve is in 2K16 too.
Nice. It's because they had him in 2K15 because of that was the big Stone Cold game.
Oh, right.
Yeah, he was just a leftover.
One other thing I will say that I was impressed with about WCW NWO Revenge is, so you could get the weapons from the crowd in one.
Huge.
And I love the detail that they had Steve McMichael's Halliburton in the game. So,
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Good little detail to include.
Yeah, I only got, in the one match I tried, it was stop signs, a chair, of course, and a baseball bat.
Don't you love the shrugging and the shaking of the head when they can't get anything?
That's real. Pretty good. Yeah, they still had that in No Mercy. Because I noticed the weapons didn't stick around in this. Like, once you dropped it, they disappeared.
Yeah, that's
good. Which is strange.
Oh, nothing realistic. Under the ring. Oh, well.
I don't know.
Oh, boy. All right, so on that note, we should probably wrap up and move right along to the email portion of the show. Now, Todd, he, as he does every week, he sent me his email. Yeah, well, you know, he likes, unlike another co-host, he likes to be thorough and to give it to me so I can read it as he's reading it out loud. But not everyone does that. So this is the email he received. Dear Todd, I'm a big fan of the show and especially you, since you are so open-minded and supportive of women's rights and equality, and eschew the sexism in the games industry. When are you going to add a female voice to your show permanently? If you were ever to have a show where you had two male guests, I might as well kill myself.
Ooh.
Sincerely, Anita S.
Man.
P.S. What is your favorite fighting game series? Mine is Dead or Alive, and I also enjoy the Beach Volleyball spinoff series.
It's a real good thing we didn't have two male guests tonight.
Wow.
Yeah. Well,
that worked out well.
You know, I don't think we still haven't had a show where it's been 50% or more female. So it's always been majority male.
I would just walk away.
And leave me with them? My God, you monster.
All that talking.
Yeah, I'd say my favorite fighting game series, it's kind of gimmicky, but I really like that Marvel versus Capcom.
Huh. I wasn't thinking you were going to go with that.
Hmm.
Well, I don't really think it's not the tightest gameplay, but I just like being able to play as Cable and Mega Man and Spider-Man for some reason.
Fair enough.
It's good. It's a good point. It's a good point.
And of course, you know, Street Fighter 2 is a classic. What say you guys?
I'll go first, I guess.
Please.
Tekken.
Mm. Oh.
Tekken was the fighting game that if you can't tell, I was a PlayStation guy growing up.
Mm-hmm.
More than N64, but Tekken was where it was at. Tekken 3 in particular I loved.
Oh, you know, that's it's weird. That's one series I don't think I've ever owned a single game from it.
Have you played them?
I've played it a tiny bit in the arcade.
Okay.
Because it always caught my eye because, like, oh, you can play as a bear. Yeah, I'm like, oh, that looks kind of weird and interesting.
Can you imagine reenacting the Revenant in a video game as the bear versus Leonardo DiCaprio?
I'm the bear.
I will maul your face off.
Good luck.
Like that one always caught my eye because it had weird characters, and I will say, like Anita, I have played Dead or Alive 5. Mm-hmm. Just because I wanted to play a fighting game, and it was the newest one that had come out, and I was just amazed at how, like, ridiculously over the top everything was.
What do you mean?
Well, you would think I meant, like, the bouncing bosoms, where It's the only fighting game where, like, you can control. There's like a bounce option, and it refers.
Option. Come on.
Well, you can turn it on or off. Like if you turn it off, they still bounce. But if you turn it on, if you turn it on, they're like, you know, like, I don't even know what to say. Like goddamn bouncy balls in there. Like super balls. But no, like even beyond that though, like the story, there's like a storyline and it makes no sense. It's like worse than Mortal Kombat. Like everyone's a secret ninja except that some people are movie stars. And then like other other people are peeping toms. And I think like Tekken, there's also like you can play as, I don't know, you can play as non-humans. So.
Right.
Anyways,
how about you, Huel?
Yeah, what's your favorite fighting game series?
Well, I was afraid it was going to be Taken, but it's hard not to say Shaq Fu.
Shaq Fu.
So, there's my answer.
There it is.
Yeah, it's certainly a game.
I mean, Josh, if you're not familiar with our past episodes, you can check out our Shaq Fu episode.
Sure. Yes, I will. I haven't listened to the Shaq Fu episode. I need to.
Mm-hmm.
I will.
By the
way, it's a recommendation to anyone listening.
Shaq Fu, one of our first episodes, episode 9 in June of 2015.
Seems so early.
Yep. And at that point, we were so excited about the Shaq Fu sequel, A Legend Reborn. And it's still not out. So,
still hasn't graced us.
Nope. Still they have taken money from people, but still not out. Still waiting for Shaq Fu: A Legend Reborn.
Exactly.
So,
man, I need to listen to this now.
Yeah,
100%.
But so that was the only email Todd received. Huel, did you receive any emails?
I did receive an email. And it is from frequent emailer ScooterBud42.
Oh, old Scooty.
So Scooty writes in, "Dear YPB, I walked by a newsstand today and see that the country has made its decision. I'm so glad we have a new president. The winner of this election is sure to do great things. I'm sure you can all agree. The president-elect has a tough road ahead, but there's no doubt they'll do a great job. Anyway, if you were named president of video games, what would be your first decree? Sincerely, ScooterButt42.
Oh, I have an easy, immediate answer.
Easy and immediate. Well,
that would be no more bats in any game.
Yes! Thank you.
No.
Took the words out of my mouth.
No bats allowed. I don't care if it's Zelda. I don't care if it's Castlevania.
Yep,
I don't care if it's many, many, many of the other games we have played. The bats are always the worst.
Absolutely.
I don't know if I've actually encountered bats in gaming, but
You would know. You would know. They are bad. In all these classic games we play, yes, bosses are an issue, and and pits are a miss. Those are always tough. But the thing that consistently seems to kill us the most are things like bats, and snakes are normally bad. Like in a, for some reason, in a lot of games you can't hit snakes because they're
too low. any game where the enemy is higher up than normal or lower than normal. There are issues abound.
Yes.
Gotcha.
It is not good.
So no bats.
No bats. Oh, man. I don't even know what to say now. Josh, how about you?
I'm left speechless. Hang on.
No bats.
No bats.
Yeah, I feel like there's something I'd want to ban. Maybe I'd ban, like, just, like, unnecessary yearly sequels. Like I'd make it acceptable in the industry to actually wait to release a game until it's finished.
Yeah,
that's a great point.
Like no day one patches and all that crap. Like I'll say, hey, it's okay. I'm the president. I'm going to allow you to actually finish this game and release it as one. one full package.
I mean, the day...
That's good.
The day one patches to make stuff playable is... That's infuriating.
Like, yeah, like, they're intentionally releasing games that don't work.
Yeah.
Because they know that they can just send something out.
Yeah, like, I can understand games... Games like Skyrim or Fallout are so massive now that it's like, oh, well, how could we possibly know if you're level 37 and you go to this area that the game locks up?
Yeah, I'm not saying no patches. I mean, they have to fix stuff, but...
Yeah.
The fact that there's updates... Right, as soon as you either buy or download it is insane.
Yeah. What about you, Josh? Did you think of anything you'd like to add, like to ban as president of games?
So I can't think of anything really overbearing like that. Like that runs a very broad umbrella, both the things that you just said. But I'm just thinking in my head right now how much I would like to play a Twisted Metal game on the next gen systems. So I would make all the video game designers start to do that. Like, can you imagine an open world Twisted Metal game? That'd be unbelievable.
Yeah, I'm picturing like the vehicles in Borderlands. If it was like a whole game.
Okay. Yep. But as far as anything really changing the way we think about video games, don't really have much that I can think of right now.
Yeah.
But I would like to play Twisted Metal.
Maybe more protagonists than brown-haired white dudes.
That's good.
That would be a nice start, too.
So, it's funny you
listen,
say that.
Listen, I'm no social justice warrior. I'm just getting tired of it.
But it's funny you say that because, I mean, the game... So I'm new to the PlayStation 4 arena here. I just got this probably 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now. And the first game that I completed on it was Uncharted 4, which I will go out on a limb and say it's probably the best game I've ever played.
Oh.
But, yes, the protagonist of that game is a white, brown-haired man. And, you know, if we're talking about Anita, if we're talking about women also, his wife is equally as important in this game, but she's not the lead here, which you could easily see her as the lead. So, yes.
Well, good times.
Yes.
Excellent.
Well, Josh, this would have been weird, but did you receive any emails?
I did not. That would have been weird, but no. Mm.
It is weird, but you'd be surprised at how many guests receive emails for our show, even though we don't publicize what guests are ever coming on.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I received one email this week. Hey, guys, who's your favorite wrestler from the 1980s, and who's your favorite wrestler now? Sincerely, John Q. Tetris.
John Q. Tetris.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I can go
the
first on the
inventor,
80s.
The inventor of Tetris.
Macho Man for me, for the 80s.
Oh, excellent choice.
Big time. Like, and I'm going to guess that favorite wrestler from now, you means currently active? Would that be the right assumption there?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, right now.
Who are you going to pick? HBK? He's been retired for like 5 years.
Yeah, man.
No, I mean, if the case were pick your favorite wrestler from the 80s and pick your favorite wrestler now, I would still say Macho Man for both if we're not adding the
all time.
Yeah,
like, this
if we're
is
not adding,
oh,
exactly. Okay. If we're not adding the caveat that they're active currently.
Yeah, so, I think he means like active now. He wants different names.
Okay, all right. Let's do the 80s one first, and we'll go back for the current ones.
Okay.
All right. Huel? Who's your 80s pick?
Hard to pick an 80s one because I wasn't really huge into it in the 80s. I mean, Macho Man is a go-to just because I love the charisma.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't have a good 80s answer. Like, I was more 90s and beyond.
One Man Gang?
Yeah. Coco Beware.
Coco Beware. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Who do you like more, though? One Man Gang or Akeem, the African Dream?
You had to love the head shake.
Can I pick Kamala?
You cannot pick Kamala, but other people
because
can.
Because you're picking Kamala.
No, no. I would not do that. So I...
Bushwhacker, Luke?
Oh, I actually have the Bushwhackers autograph. Like,
oh, man.
Is it hanging up? I don't think I have it hanging up, but I have two wrestling autographs. Well, I guess three, because the Bushwhackers. Them and Chris Jericho. I got.
Oh, that's cool.
Jericho signed his first of three biographies. I got signed by him. So he's definitely my current favorite, and he's still so good.
He really is so good. Still,
he has a renaissance right now.
Yeah, and from the 80s, I was six when the 80s ended, so most of it's just going back and watching people after the fact. Roddy Piper.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, love me some Hot Rod.
Got to have Hot Rod.
Mm-hmm. you certainly do.
So easy.
So, yeah, Jericho would be my current favorite. Jericho and Owens. Owens is obviously...
No, you just stole the one that I was going to go with there.
I was literally thinking Kevin Owens from the start.
Well, it's weird. They're almost like a weird package deal now, but I don't know.
Well, they're best friends, Steve.
Come on, man. Can't separate them.
It's incredible how good Owens is at just, like, with the crowd work.
Yeah.
Like as good as when, you know, people would scream at Jericho, go back to Toronto and scream, I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot.
That was one of the best.
Just like little stuff like that.
There's a story of a house show at the Staples Center. So the cameras aren't even on for this thing, but he's playing the heel so well that he sees this kid in the front row of the crowd. He says, "Hey, kid, is that your dad?" And the kid says, "Yeah, that's my dad." And so KO says to the kid, "Oh, tell him his haircut's stupid." It's like, that's such a great freaking heel thing to do.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Even though he has a microphone, even though his dad's standing there, I don't know why that works so well.
It's amazing.
So good.
No, I think Owens right now is just the best total package.
Yeah, I'm not even going to pick someone else because...
No, I can't.
You know, he's just so good. And it's like you just said, the total package is right there. He's so great in ring. He's so good on the mic. Mm-hmm. And do you guys follow him on Twitter? His Twitter's amazing.
Oh, he has incredible Twitter.
Yes.
Because he's pretty much in full heel mode on Twitter as well.
Right.
So oh, yeah. KO, he's one of KO the best trolls.
It. Yeah. I probably, if I had to pick a second on the roster, well, Jericho's kind of in, like, legacy act at this point.
You're a Jericho-holic, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Don't deny it.
Mark Henry?
Oh, Henry doesn't get to do anything, but I feel like he's good.
Can I pick Golden Truth as one entry?
I mean, you can, because no one else will.
You know, my second favorite right now would be Randy Orton. He's still really good. I haven't watched the current stuff he's doing as part of a member of the Wyatt family, mm-hmm. but like, even though he got bludgeoned at SummerSlam, like he's mm-hmm. still just really good as a pro wrestler. And I can really appreciate that.
He has that thing where when he's actually trying, he's really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think the past, since the latest return or whatever, I think he's actually been trying.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm intrigued to see where this Wyatt thing goes.
I'm hoping he goes heel because
he kind of is.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like I'm worried they're going to do the Daniel Bryan thing where he joins the Wyatt family for like 2 weeks.
Oh, and then
he's back.
Faces out.
Well, they kind of their hands were forced with Daniel Bryan.
Yeah,
like there's no way that was going to last. But I think with Orton, he's in a position now in his career where he could hang out with them for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also Orton to me is at his best when he is a heel and when he's playing that kind of douchebag character,
right?
Like, which is probably just Randy Orton.
Yeah,
I was
it
gonna
is
say that,
Randy
yeah.
Orton, the man.
Yeah, like the kind of guy who gets a barbed wire sleeve tattoo or whatever the hell. Yeah,
that kind of guy.
Yeah, and the kind of guy who I hope never listens to this. So,
yeah.
Well, that's fine. You, I mean, even if he listens to this, that's okay.
You can listen, Randy.
Yeah.
How you doing?
That just means he's doing his job right. There you go,
he's
Randy.
Doing research.
Yeah. Perfect teal. All right. Well, that closes the email portion of the show. But as I said, Todd forwards me along his email, so we do have to ask the Sweet Boys something this week. If you have any questions about life, sex, love, relationships, or any other subject that has been troubling you, then please write in to us at parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com with subject ask, followed by your question. Remember, we will always keep your questions anonymous unless otherwise requested. This ask is from Anonymous, and it is...
Oh.
Yep, it's from Anonymous. How can I become a Super Saiyan?
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
IDK how to.
Okay.
And that's it.
Oh, that's that's not just the subject line.
No, that the subject line is, how can I become a Super Saiyan? And the body is IDK how to.
Well, first thing that comes to mind... I guess they're asking how to become a rapper, like how to be someone who says things super, like that kind of thing. Like I'm Super Saiyan, like I'm saying a lot of stuff.
Is this not Dragon Ball Z? Is that what this is?
Oh, what?
Google tells me that there's a character on Dragon Ball Z by the name of Super.
There's a character.
Saiyan. S-A-I-Y-A-N. But the person
is this some sort of goofy cartoon program.
But I don't. Here's the thing: the person in this ask spelled it S-A-Y-I-A-N, so it's ambiguous. He could mean a rapper. He could mean this Dragon Ball thing. So,
Josh, your thoughts?
Yeah. So I think to become a Super Saiyan, you just need to talk really, really fast. While getting orange globe orbs, because I think that's what Dragon Ball Z is. I don't know.
No.
Well, IDK. See, IDK.
If all you
need, you also DK.
If all you need to do was talk fast, though, then the Gilmore Girls would have been Super Saiyan years ago.
Connecticut's own.
Yeah, just...
Look at these pop culture references.
I'm left on,
and right, man.
I am on the cutting edge of this.
By IDK, I mean I Donkey Kong, by the way. Or
oh, okay.
I Diddy Kong. I heard you guys talking about Diddy Kong Racing in the last one. I Diddy Kong, so boom. IDK.
Oh, you're that guy.
I'm that guy.
I too played Diddy Kong Racing.
Well, I don't know. So we don't really know how to become Super Saiyan.
If you're writing in an ask, I mean, we need more details. Ugh. I mean, I know you're the one that didn't K, but we DK also.
God, we're really feeling Todd's absence right now.
I feel like
he would K this. He would K this.
It's probably why he picked it.
Yeah, that's true.
Because he K.
Do you think Todd asked the question as anonymous?
Oh, man. Yeah. I think we're onto something here.
No.
He was too embarrassed.
It's like DDP dressing up as La Parca. You just don't know what's real anymore.
Anything is possible.
Maybe it's an alternate personality, like the three faces of Foley or the three characters of Charles Wright.
So. This is Brisket's baby boy.
Yeah.
There it is.
Bang, bang.
Pew, pew.
All right, we better wrap this up. Huel, did you have any last words of wisdom here?
Hard work pays off. Dreams come true. Bad times don't last, but bad guys do.
Is that a Razor Ramon line or something? Or
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, then. Josh, you know, I'm not going to thank you for putting our co-host through a trailer, apparently.
Oh, yes.
Again, when he was 2 weeks from retirement. But, you know, I think we came to an understanding. We kind of rounded into form over our love for WCW Bidget Games. And thank you for guesting.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for my cup of coffee in the big time, as Macho Man would call it.
Mm.
Oh, nice.
You're welcome. And thank you.
Mm-hmm. And on that note, here's a snifferoo from next week's game. Gotta catch them all.
Hey, little buddy, want a ride?
Pikachu!
Yeah, whatever! I'll be right back!
Where can you catch all 150 Pokemon? On your Game Boy, that's where. Pokemon for Game Boy is here. With both packs, you can catch them all. Games and systems sold separately.
Is this working? Who's to take two?
Josh, take yourself off mute.
Hello?
There you go.
I wasn't sure if I was if you were going to say who it was first or if I was just supposed to jump in. I got really confused there.
No. I. Here. Why don't we?
I'm listening to the thing and I'm trying to figure out where the cue is, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm supposed to just jump in right now and like.
Yeah. Jump in.
I thought you were gonna be like a Jim Ross type thing. Like, by God, that's Josh's music. Or